All right, hello, Men Talking Mindfulness. This is Will Schneider. Doing a little solo episode today, as you know, John and I just couldn't make it together this week. As you know, John's going to be doing some cool keynote speaking for actually Calm, the Calm app. So he's going to be on that app. So that's I'm excited for him and excited for us and how that's going to help people. So let's today let's drop in and let's talk about tools for focusing. But first, hey, thank you for being here on Men Talking Mindfulness. Thank you for being part of the community. Thank you for sharing this with the people in your lives, because we can all become more mindful and live life more intentionally. And we live life more intentionally, I'm usually a lot happier with what I'm doing, because instead of just mindlessly and reactively being in the world, I can be more intentional with my time, with my feelings, with my thoughts. So, you know, normally when I'm intentional, I want to do things that make me happy or make other people happy, or, you know, bring me forward in to the world in a way that I want to with my time, my energy. So focusing is so important in order to do those types of things. So how are you focusing, and what kind of tools or methods are you using to focus your time and your energy? And if you don't, you know, maybe you're going to learn a few things here today as we go along, in order to enhance your focus. So in this episode, we're going to talk about some cognitive fitness tools that you can play with to help you and understand how to get to know and create more focus, how to maintain focus, and what gets in the way of focusing as well. So just listen up, let go of all your preconceptions and what your ideas about focusing should be. I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but just to like let some new information in. And hey, my goal is what we're trying to, you know, have you walk away with today is an understanding of how the mind and the body works in relationship to focus, developing or at least becoming aware of some self-control and self-mastery tools. So you can develop and feel more self-mastery and greater self-control. And, you know, my hope is that you take one or more of these tools with you and use them as often as needed to stay fresh, to get out of the trappings and the stories and the fictions and the nefariousness of the mind, and live more intentionally instead of emotionally reactive. So I just actually did this in a keynote for a company recently, and one thing that I wanted them to understand is, like, don't let perfectionism get in the way of you making effort, right? It's not about taking these tools, and if you don't get it right the first time, or whether it's a meditation or anything in that regard, you know, if you're trying to seek perfection the first time, like, that's not the way things work, right? So, you know, don't let perfection get in the way of you making an effort. It's not about getting it right or what it looks like to someone else. The wisdom comes from the doing and trying again and again and again and again. So let's talk about focusing. One thing, you know, we have this kind of triad, or this, this triad of experience, if you will. So we must honor our mind and our body and our breath in order to really continually maintain focus and be an optimal human being of focus. So let's start with just jump in and talk about the body, right? We need to get in and stay in and continually move the body. You know, so when we move the body, it stimulates and wakes up the body. You know, if you've been sitting on your ass most of the day, your body becomes sedentary. You know, also one thing that maybe an analogy or a metaphor that can help you understand the body as it is, it's 2/3 water. You know, think of your body as a body of water. And if you look at a body of water, whether it's just kind of a puddle on the street, or whether it's a large ocean, or whether it's like a river, when a body of water just kind of puddles and doesn't move, what happens? It gets funky, it starts to smell, it gets clouded, and it becomes like infected, and it just is unhealthy water. But what happens with a body of water that moves? It stays clear, it stays fresh, it's healthy. You know, there's a sense of like health about the water, because the water is continually moving. So if your body, and our bodies are 2/3 water, what's going to be important in order to maintain physical health for the body? You must keep moving the body. And when we reward the body with movement, it helps to reward our mind. It helps to reward our experience. It helps to uplift us emotionally as well, because, you know, we can't get away from this, the body that we have. I mean, I know we're very mentally focused in the West, you know, also mentally rewarded, you know, for our minds, like, oh, you're so smart, or, you know, kind of hearing those things or wanting to hear those things. But what actually makes us smarter, which creates more clarity, which creates more creativity, is getting in your body, staying in your body, and moving the body throughout the day, so you can continually activate more of those states of calm, of clarity, and creativity that is part of the human experience. So what are you doing physically throughout the day? What are you doing physically in the morning in order to kind of wake up and refresh the body after you just slept like 6, 8, 7 hours, 10 hours over the night? Are you moving your body on a regular basis? Do you have a morning routine that you take? It could just be as many as, like, you know, 5, 8, 10, 15. If you want to go up to like a full 90-minute, 2-hour workout, absolutely, that's fantastic. If you have the time to do that and you want to spend your time doing that, I think that is absolutely fantastic. But just to kind of wake up the body for 7, 8, 10 minutes in the morning, is a great way to get the engine running. Like, get the engine of your car that you're going to drive around all day, right? And give it the movement that it needs in order to create the psychological and physiological impact and that connection between the mind and the body to really help you optimize and get the most out of your time and your effort every day. Part of that is obviously your breath is always with us. We're going to talk about the breath a little bit later. So, and even like throughout the day, you know, what are you doing every, you know, hour or every even 30 minutes just to kind of move, you know, move this body of water around, right? So you can continually create the clarity you need to access more of the creativity that helps you to be more of a badass out there with whatever you're trying to do. You know, so what is it going to be? I mean, I just like to personally, I get up, I do some like side stretching, I do some forward folding and unfolding, so back bending and folding. You know, I kind of wake up the energy a little bit with doing some shaking, some tapping, doing a lot of breathing as I do this the whole time. And then sometimes this doesn't even go longer for me than more than 5 minutes. And then I sit and meditate and I, you know, do some breathing work. So I really honor this triad of experience, if you will, mind, body, and breath. But just check in with yourself and what you're doing physically. And you got to do something if you really want to focus better and get the more and maximize the use of your time and maximize the biology that's just waiting to be tapped into by honoring the body. Because when you honor the body, it's going to reward the brain and your experience and your focus. And then one thing also, about movement, it's like, and we move throughout the day, and which is, you know, that's just, you know, again, like we're driving a car. But if you want to get better at doing things and moving in this world and, you know, and getting a lot of things done, also, what about just getting still for a couple minutes in the morning, or maybe just get still and get into the non-doing space, because it's an opposition. Right, you want to be better at doing things. What about sitting and doing nothing and just be with the experience as it is in stillness? So it'll help to add perspective to when you are doing things, because you can see like, oh, when I am doing things, am I being efficient in what I'm doing? Am I, you know, so you can become a better engineer of the mind and the body when you just take time to stop and do nothing and just observe your experience for some time. So those moments of stillness are going to be very important to help you continually be more active as well. Hey, so just really quick, here's a little, we had a sponsor for the show. It's Zadaptive. That's like adaptive, but Zadaptive. It's a software platform where solutions can be tailored to meet the needs and demands of your unique operational workflow by providing an online customizable database. You know, their team of experienced implementation consultants will guide you through the creation of your solution and provide ongoing maintenance and support. So thank you, Zydaptive, for your support of Men Talking Mindfulness. Head to Zydaptive.com to find the solutions. And again, that is Zydaptive, like adaptive, but with a Zydaptive.com, Zydaptive.com. So thank you for that. But let's go next into focusing. What about our emotions, right? This is something that we're always battling with. It's something we very often talk about on the show, is our emotions. And one thing that I continually try to remind myself of, and I think it's definitely worth reminding you about, is a quote from Dale Carnegie. He says, when dealing with people, remember that you're not dealing with creatures of logic, but with creatures of emotions, creatures bristling with prejudice and motivated by pride and vanity. So think about that with yourself, as also with other people, is our emotions are how we often fuel our experience sometimes. And, you know, it's just the way that the human body is. But there's a slippery slope as we continually uncover and work with and develop more content for Men Talking Mindfulness. And I'm sure what you're experiencing is, you know, emotions are a very, very slippery slope, you know. And at our core, again, we're emotional beings. And this is a gift and a curse, because our emotions bring forth passion and purpose and kindness, love, romance, generosity, compassion. But also, you know, built into our emotional experience is guilt and shame and self-doubt, anger, rage, stress, anxiety, and so much more. So what are you doing in order, right, to control your emotions? And one word that I like to talk about how to be an optimized human being, and how to focus and be more intently with your time and your life and, you know, the results that you want, is the word composure. And how are you maintaining composure? What is composure, right? Composure is the state of feeling or the state or feeling of being calm and in control of oneself, right? The state or feeling of being in calm or control of oneself. Like, such a great word to describe kind of what the entire, what mindfulness is all about, maintaining our composure. Some wonderful synonyms for composure are self-control, self-possession, self-command, right? Calmness, self-mastery, equanimity, calm, coolness, serenity, tranquility, poised, presence of mind, self-assured, stoic, unexcitable, cool, unflappable. And just imagine yourself, or take a moment of seeing yourself, what it means to be composed, or taking times or remembering times when you have been composed. And how did you feel? What was the environment like, the circumstances like? What was the results? What was the reaction to people around you, other people around you, when you maintained that composure? So, you know, when we are in control of our emotions, like, we're in control of ourselves. You know, so, you know, who is in control of you on a regular basis? And maybe just take a moment now, and you may whip out your journal and write down, pause this recording, and, you know, ask this question, like, who is in control? The ever-changing environment that we're all a part of, that impermanence that we all live in, or you? So, I mean, if you're unaware, like, I mean, this is, if you're just starting your mindfulness journey, then just even bringing this, having this awareness about that we're emotional creatures, and then asking that question, answering that question, can really help you get a more firm step on the path. So, like, what's important to know about the mind, and we've talked about this a bunch on the show, we've had Dr. Seth on, and I'll include this in the show notes here, about how every healthy body and mind works is a biological and cognitive process called the STEA process, STEA, right? It stands for stimulus, thought, emotion, action. And this is the way that this is the way, again, like how we all work, right? And it's good to know this because we can make changes by having this information. So stimulant, and this is a very, very quick, almost a chain reaction. If we don't take pause, get calm, get in our body, you know, get to know our experience by meditating, get to know our breath by, that creates the ability to calm down. So when a stimulus does happen, right, we're not immediately going to a thought, which is usually habitual thought. We're not immediately, what happens when we start thinking, emotions start to rise immediately, right? And then the A is action. So if we are a uncontrolled, untamed mind and body, and we don't know that self, and we haven't been using tools in order to control ourselves, then it just goes like, you know, the stimulus comes in, the thought comes in, the emotion comes in, the action comes in. And since we're habitual human beings, and you know, we've been typically, if we haven't changed our programming, right, our cognitive and biological programming, then a lot of us, and you might know this or see this out in the world, a lot of us are just super reactive and emotional all the time. So you just say one thing and then someone blows up and makes it, you know, a giant explosion, instead of it just being something that probably most of the time could just pass by. And then, you know, you can control more of your thoughts, emotions, and actions, or maybe not even react at all in whatever particular circumstance that is. But the way you begin to create what they say in the STIA process, what we're trying to do mindfully, and why cognitive fitness and focus is so important, is because, and getting to know your experience and the impermanence of all of our experiences, is when a stimulus does come in, we're triggered by something, or potentially, or there's an opportunity to be triggered by something. I could be like, I don't need to go to that thought. I don't, definitely don't need to feel that emotion, and I definitely don't need to take those actions. So, you know, and this comes back to our, you know, we got to honor, again, our body, right? But also honor part of our body is our neurological systems. And this is how our neurological system works. So we can, if you're taking control of your time, if you are finding more of your breath, if you're getting into your body and practicing on a regular basis, then we have a much greater opportunity throughout our experience every single day to be deeper in and access and live through, right, the calm, cool, and connected part of our nervous system, which is called the parasympathetic nervous system. And in the parasympathetic nervous system, right, our mind is relaxed, our executive function is online, so we can control our focus, we can have this wonderful cognitive flexibility that naturally comes up, you know, in our mind. When we're in the parasympathetic nervous system, we also have like our working memories online. So it's such a gift to remain calm and in control and composed, right? Composure, once again, because of just how incredible our natural biology is. Like I like to call it, our biological brilliance comes online when we are calm. And who doesn't want to be brilliant? And not just brilliant intellectually, but you begin to glow and vibrate in a different way, that is a calm and peaceful way. And it's amazing also what that can attract sometimes, you know, to you, because you're more open instead of energetically. The other side is the sympathetic nervous system, right? And this is very reactive and emotional, and our energy is very frenetic. You know, when we're in the sympathetic nervous system, which is called the survival mechanism or the fight, flight, freeze, or fawn mechanism, then we're always looking for a threat. We're always trying to defend ourselves. We're hijacked by cortisol and adrenaline, and we are not our best selves at all. All we are basically, you know, like a savage, you know, a human being savage that is just trying to get out of whatever that situation is, protect yourself in some way, you know, looking at everything in the world as a threat and an enemy. And, you know, just think about that. And I'm sure you've experienced both sides, you know, of this coin of our experience. And which one did you enjoy more? And if you, I hope you would enjoy more of the calm, cool, and connected, thriving parasympathetic self, because the experience is just easier and more harmonious. And with life as it is, instead of lost in the mind and its fictions and all the stories. So So what, you know, you have a choice. What's the choice you're going to make, right? It's going to take a little bit of practice to find those, you know, to create that calmer self, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And that's why you're listening to this episode anyway. So if you're not practicing already, then WTF. And what's going to help you maybe understand a little bit more, we have a great episode with Dr. Seth on reacting versus responding and all the biology that goes into that and some of the tools as well. So awesome. I'm just going to keep going right here. So how do we find composure, right? And again, that calm mind, like I did an episode over the break about the 8 C's of the self. And one of those 8 C's is getting to calm, which, you know, brings clarity and creativity and confidence and courage and curiosity and compassion and all these wonderful C's that come online. But we must first get to calm and in order to find composure. And what is a calm mind? A calm mind is a focused mind. A focused mind is a creative and an efficacious mind, a mind that works for and with us instead of being hijacked by our inherent negativity bias, right? And that's part of our biology as well. Like, it's, you know, kind of is a little fucked up that, you know, we have this built-in negativity bias and, like, we kind of process a lot of the world in a negative way. But, you know, I mean, but, like, you can ask why that is, but for me, that doesn't matter as much as, okay, what do I do with this information and what do I do with my time in order to kind of overcome that biological and that psychological process, right? And that's what this podcast is all about. This particular episode is all about focusing. So, you know, the best way to begin to get to composure and get to calm is by finding our breath. That's why we did that. And that's why we do the breathing practice in the show. And that's why we have so many breathing practices and meditations on the show, because we want to get to calm, because that's when our biological brilliance begins to activate. So we have, you know, how about something like the BAMO breath, right? B-A-M-O. This comes from Dr. Seth Hickerson as well in My Steady Mind. It's breathe and move on. And it could be something as simple as this. Let's just do one right now. We're going to empty out. We're going to inhale for 4 seconds. And we're going to exhale long and slow and peacefully out the mouth. You know, like you're kind of blowing, you know, your exhale out through a straw. And let's just do one of these. Maybe if you're feeling it now, maybe just pause and do 5 more of those. And you can also do this anytime you're kind of switching tasks, anytime that you feel kind of an emotional experience coming up and going to hijack you into those into that negativity bias. And it could just be as simple as this and just in a short amount of time like this as well. So let's do this BAMO breathing together just for one round. Exhale out. And here we go. Take that first inhale. 4 seconds. 3. And exhale nice and easy out. Beautiful. What's nice about this BAMO breath, it's also a call to action, because you get to move beyond whatever that emotional circumstance is trying to kind of pull you down is. So it could be as simple as that, you know, doing several of those. Or what I suggest, it's like, you know, how you win your morning. If you win your morning, you're going to have a better opportunity winning your day. If you begin to control yourself and control your time at first thing in the day and in the morning, then you're going to have a greater likelihood of maintaining and finding and creating that composure throughout the day. That's just the way this works, right? We're not good at anything until we practice. We're not just kind of, we don't come into the world like a monk or a meditator or somebody that's super focused, right? It's something we have to work at. So put in the work and just start really small. And what I suggest as work can be is just getting to know your breath for 5 minutes a day. And then maybe plugging another opportunity throughout the day to find more of those breaths, or sit for another 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. You know, so think of your breath. It's a constant, and it's the most powerful tool and ally in every single circumstance. You know, and you can, you know, but you need to make the time to reestablish and trust this relationship. Okay, I really like to think of, you know, it's our relationship to our breath. It's our subjective experience of our breathing. And by observing my experience of the breath as I manipulate my breath, as I become more intentional with the breath, and then see what the experience is after I breathe and be like, oh, this works. This can really be helpful for me because all of a sudden I got my head on straight. I can lift my head up out of the fog of distress, and now I can get more intentional with my time and make better decisions with my time. So this is what's super key about finding your breath. Great stuff. Let's keep going. You know, so we just did the mind, the body, and the breath, right? But these all work together. You know, mastering, learning, and maintaining one of these three, right, will lead you more of control to the other two, right? It's a perfect, like, kind of equilateral triangle. And I think the breath is one of the easiest places to start, you know, because it's just so readily available at any given moment. And that's going to help you to relax the mind and get to know the mind. And again, being in your body is super important. So make the time every day to do a little bit of, like, you know, a physical kind of warm up. But then I would also suggest, you know, a few times throughout the week, take your body out for a longer, you know, good stress inducing physical exercise in some way, whatever that can look like for you. Let's just talk a little bit more about the mind here, and how it's just so important to protect your mind. You know, so what are you feeding your mind? You know, so get intentional and practice, right? Be aware and awake instead of mindless when it comes to your mind. Protect your mind. It's going to help you protect your time, and it's going to help create greater moods, you know, because here's why. You know, so what are you feeding your mind? Are you feeding it anxiety, stress, and FOMO from your social media, right? Or whatever other kind of source of stress and anxiety that you're feeding it. Or are you feeding it, like, life-affirming opportunities, reading great books, or how about, like, reading about great people and these great people overcoming the odds? You know, you plugging in affirmations like, I am kind, I am generous, I am a badass, I have what it takes, right? Instead of going down the other way and talking to yourself in a negative way. You know, so it's, again, it's your choice here as well. It's always a choice. I mean, we live in a free country, especially here. Like, we live in a free country. You, right, can make these choices for you, but I think you need to be aware of what choices you might be habitually making, right, without even your awareness, and then maybe start to change those. You know, so also, like, hey, what are you feeding your body, right? Are you feeding it wholesome and nutritious foods? Are you giving it proper sleep and rest? You know, how often are you exercising your body? How well are you hydrating your body every single day? You know, again, think of our body as water, you know, and if the water sits, or if the water is kind of toxic because you're feeding it all sorts of processed crap or alcohol or sugar or, you know, whatever kind of substances that do not attune with the things that bring forth our best physiology, then I would make those changes as well. Because you want to stay clear with the body water too. And, you know, what are you putting in the body in order to create a very healthy system of the body? So again, here's your choice as well. And so what is your connection to your breathing, right? Again, this is, again, what is your connection to your breathing? You know, get to know your breathing. It's the most empowering and rewarding relationship you can work on. I know I'm saying this again, but this is so incredibly easy, but so incredibly impactful and profound. Establish that powerful ally so you can take control of yourself anywhere, anytime, instead of the chaos that can creep in if we don't control ourselves. It's such a slippery slope. Again, just 5 minutes a day in the morning, or maybe an evening, or maybe a few times a day, or maybe longer as you go through, to just get to know a calm, relaxed, deep quality of breath. Makes a big difference. All right. So I'm not just going to leave you with a bunch of theory are a bunch of science, right? I'm going to let's put it all together a little bit, and I'll give you a couple of easy techniques that you can utilize anytime you're kind of shifting. The first one I'll talk about, anytime you're like shifting from one task to another, or you know, when you're kind of wearing a different hat, going from the office into, you know, your family. You can use, I love this, stop method, STOP, right? So how about stop before you start something else? And stop stands for S, stands for stop first, like get, you know, take a moment, get still, observe for a moment, subjectify your experience instead of being like objectively attached, right? Just pull back for a second, compose yourself, use the breath, right? So that's T, right? So stop, take a breath is T, right? To calm down, you know, again, create that clarity and that creativity and all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's a beautiful, easy reset. It's going to help you to get present to the here and now, right? And kind of zoom out. And then the O is observe. You know, observe, it's like, where am I? You know, oh, what am I here for? What is the goal and the intention and what I'm trying to do? And it could just be like, instead of taking all of that, the stress from your workday and into your family life, into your kids, and they you know, like they've had nothing to do with how you're feeling right now. So why are you going to bring all of your emotional baggage home with you? Think of it as baggage, just lugging it around. But why not stop, take a breath, observe, proceed intentionally, leave that baggage at the door, or just like kick it into the garbage can where it belongs, and walk in fresh, grounded, intentional, loving, kind. When we get all of these wonderful things, when we get to calm, all of a sudden we're naturally more kind, more generous, more patient. And how is that going to feed those moments? What kind of results and what kind of things are going to show up coming from that place, instead of being agitated and pissed off and seeing the world as like an ugly place and carrying around your selfish emotional bullshit into other people's lives as well. So that's the stop method. And let's talk about the Pomodoro method, right? So this technique helps you to focus on tasks better, right, by limiting the length of time you attempt to maintain focus and ensuring restorative breaks from the effort. The method also helps you to overcome your tendencies to procrastinate or multitask, both of which are known to impair productivity. It's a great productive why can't I get this right? Is a productive tool, okay, is what it is. And this was founded by Francisco Cirillo back in the late 1980s. But also I want to do a little quote here from Leonardo da Vinci, which I really, really enjoy. And this can be from, you can think of this quote in a couple ways. And he says, every now and then, go away, have a little relaxation. For when you come back to your work, your judgment will be sure. Go some distance away, because then the work appears smaller and more of it can be taken in at a glance, and a lack of harmony and proportion is more readily seen. That's Leonardo da Vinci. So this is like a master, one of the art, you know, the old masters telling us to take time, step back, to, you know, get that perspective, you know, feel that harmony and the proportion, you know, that could be more readily seen when you do come back. And you also, I've heard this quote say, you know, you kind of come back with new lenses, you know, to focus on something more intently. And that's what this Pomodoro method is going to help you to do. You know, and it's simple. It's an awesome tool to help you develop more efficient work habits. And it works like this. And also what I like about the Pomodoro method is it's not just, it's a productivity tool, right? But it, for me, when I do this, it's a it's an emotional win, because, and we'll talk about that, how this emotional win. So here's the technique itself. it's been shown that after 25 to 35 minutes of working on a task, whatever that task is, our concentration and creativity diminishes exponentially. So why not work with our biological systems instead of trying to fight the current? So you set a timer is what you're going to do for this 25 or 35 minutes to just work on this one task. That's it, right? In order to be more effective with this particular technique, I suggest creating a focused environment, right? Eliminate any distractions, as many of them as you possibly can. Put your phone on silent, you know, go to a quiet place or put a, you know, some non-distracting music on, you know, close all your tabs and windows that are, you know, inapplicable to the task that you're trying to complete. You know, and then set that timer. Set that timer for that, you know, 30 minutes, 35 minutes max, and then go ahead and do the work intentionally without checking your phone every like 3 minutes of this 25 minutes. Just do the task. Monotask like a mofo in this regard. Once the timer goes off, stop, right? Think of the wisdom of this technique, right? But also the wisdom of the old master, Leonardo da Vinci. Take some time away. Take what they recommend in this technique is take a 5 or 10 minute break. I suggest honor that triad of experience. Move, breathe, and wake up the, you know, kind of reset the mind, right? So maybe take a walk. You know, whatever that can be. Maybe you do some tapping or moving in some ways. But again, think of like take your body of water and give it a nice little refresh, right? Get it out there and, you know, move that water around so you can enjoy and feel the rewards of that clarity because you're moving the water of your body around. And then come back, set another timer, and do it again for 25 or 30 minutes, and then take another 5-10 minute break, right? Monotasking all the time. And what they say here also is after 4 Pomodoros, like 4 of these 25, 30 minute sessions are done, take a long break, like typically 20 to 30 minutes instead of a short break. And once the break is finished, go back to focusing and see how that works for you. You know, why not, you know, use all this information I talked about focusing here. It's there. This is just how we work. I'm just the teacher here, right, talking to the science of our own biology and what it takes to focus. So again, it's your choice. And what's that choice going to be? One thing you can do is what's coming up. We're launching this let me just check 1 second here. So on March 19th, I am starting Men Talking Mindfulness's very first meditation circle, which is going to help you to get to know the practice of meditation, help you to focus, help you develop a consistent practice. It's going to be a 45-minute every Tuesday, 6 p.m., live virtual event where we're going to work together as a group, as a circle, right, and hold each other accountable, and you'll have a couple accountability buddies with this to help you develop your practice of meditation. It's going to be a 9-week course. It's going to start on March 19th, and it's going to end on May 14th. These sessions will be recorded, so you can go back and listen to them again. You will have homework each week. It's 9 weeks. We're going to break them up into 3 sections. First section is just understanding your breath and your body. Second, we're going to go deeper into the sensorial experience of meditation and just being more aware of our experience. And then we're going to also work with loving kindness and compassion as a means to just be better with yourself and be kinder to yourself. And how's that going to help you to be better and kinder to yourself as you work, but also help you to be kinder and better with other people too. So really appreciate you all showing up today. Let's just finish with 5 BAMO breaths. And this could be your practice for the next few months, just doing this several times a day, or maybe just doing this particular breathing technique, setting a timer, and just doing this for 5-10 minutes a day in the morning and see how this changes your experience. So really simple, breathe and move on. We're going to inhale for 4, exhale easy out through the mouth. We're going to do this 5 times. We're going to call it a day. Let's exhale to begin. Inhale, 4. Let it go out. In. Out. Really try to get that breath as you breathe in deep into the belly. It's expanding horizontally wide and deep and then filling to the top, and let it go out. One more inhale. Let it go. Last one in. Let it go. Awesome. Take a moment and just see how you feel, how you're feeling. If you want to get a little bit deeper into everything Men Talking Mindfulness, text MTM to 33777. Once again, get in the know of Men Talking Mindfulness, text MTM to 33777. Meditation Circle will be part of that as well. Head to mentalkingmindfulness.com for the Meditation Circle. We also have, on May 16th to the 19th, we will be in Colorado Springs at Glen Eyrie Castle for our third in-person retreat, Lead Well to Be Well. So come and join that, or send us a DM or an email to myself, Will, at mentalkingmindfulness.com, or John at mentalkingmindfulness.com. And just again, thank you so much for our sponsor today, Zadaptive. You know, this software platform, you know, we can meet, you know, that can meet your needs and demands for your unique operational workflow. And that's Zadaptive.com. You can find them. That's Zadaptive.com. Zadaptive.com. Thank everybody for showing up, for listening, to be part of Men Talking Mindfulness. Share this with everybody as much as yes, share it. Share it, because I know that other people can use these focusing tools as well. Peace, everybody. Keep kicking ass. Thank you. Will Schneider over and out.